I had a burden for it about 3 years ago, and when I started preparing to talk about it, I just didn't have peace about it. So I had kept going for it and kept looking at it and kept putting it away. But I really felt peace of God this time around when I went for it and really felt like he just connected all the dots. So hopefully it's a blessing. I'll say it's a challenge. It hits very close to home for me. So turn with me in your Bibles over to Luke chapter 4. We're going to go to two verses, so just earmark one, verses 9 through 13, and 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 through 17. I don't have any cool, quirky jokes that, like Pastor Meyer has, to share. I did see some good stuff on Facebook the other day. It had George Bush scratching his head like this, and he said, "All right, so ISIS is in control of a lot of stuff. The economy is still bombing, and on and on. And it's still my fault." So I got a good chuckle out of that one. Let's start off in 1 Corinthians. We'll start there and just read a few verses. Chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Some familiar verses, but I think they're a little different. Chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." And then look over there in Luke chapter 4, verses 9 through 13. A familiar verse where Jesus is being tempted by Satan. "And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answered and said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season." Let's go to the word in prayer. Go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I do believe this is the message you've given to me, Lord. I pray now that you'll give me the words to speak. Pray, Lord, that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit, and just take care, give this message out to your people, Lord, and pray you'd encourage their hearts, challenge them, and uplift them wherever you see appropriate. Lord, I do pray that you would be with our pastor and our assistant pastor and all the men and ladies and children at the summit, Lord, that you'd bless their hearts, Lord, and encourage them, prepare us for the week we have ahead of us, Lord. We are looking forward to tent meeting. I know we're all excited for the preachers that are going to be here, Lord. Help to get our hearts right for you and get ready for you and just prepare for you to come and dwell with us for that entire week. Lord, we pray now you just bless the message now this evening. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. So we have two messages here. We have, I'm definitely see why Pastor uses this fan all the time. So we have in the first passage, we're talking about the temple. And we know very familiar about the temple of God. We talk commonly about the temple of God, that this here, this body you've been given is the temple of God. And in the other passage, we're talking about tempting the Lord the God. So I'm going to take those two and put them together as far as caring for God's temple. We all agree, based upon 1 Corinthians, that we should take care of our temple. The Holy Spirit lives in you, so caring for that temple in the Holy Spirit's dwelling place is critical. In order for you to be successful as a Christian, in order to be successful for God, you have to care for this temple. So if I say to everyone, no one should be drinking alcohol, amen? We shouldn't be smoking tobacco, right? We should not be tattooing our body up. We should be taking care of this temple. I all get an amen. But what if I said, don't eat McDonald's? That's not going to get as quite a burst of an amen there. I know it because I just ate McDonald's. I ate it once this week. I had Chick-fil-A not too long after that. But why not? Why would we not eat McDonald's? Because technically, if we look at McDonald's and what it's giving to us, It's not a good substance. It's not really feeding and nourishing our bodies the way that we need our bodies to be nourished. It's given us more junk food than we actually need. But we indoctrinate our kids because they do that great Happy Meal. Who likes a Happy Meal? I was 13, 14 years old, 16 years old, and I was still ordering Happy Meals because I like some of the toys. I still like my ice cream dessert, too. Right? I still like to eat those snacks and those nutrients. I was just eating M&Ms before service. I had a whole pile of M&Ms, and I've been eating them. Because if you put M&Ms in a jar in front of me, I'm going to eat them. But what am I doing to the temple of God when I eat those M&Ms? When I splurge on McDonald's, there was a guy that did that movie not too long ago. It was Super Size Me. And he saw what McDonald's does to your body. His challenge was whenever someone at the counter asked him if they wanted to supersize it, he would say yes. So he made it sure he ate everything on the menu for, I think, a month straight. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Now, I don't expect anyone would do this. But he watched his cholesterol soar. He watched his weight soar. His glucose, it was astronomical. He was supposed to go for longer, but the doctors told him he had to stop because it was so severely unhealthy what he was doing to his body. See, the stuff about alcohol and tobacco, we can all look at that easily and say, yeah, we shouldn't do that. We can see what that does. Alcohol messes up our mind, doesn't allow us function. Tobacco, if we look enough on the commercials and stuff on TV, we've seen this. I remember as a kid, they had one of these little puff things, and it would smoke a cigarette, and you'd see this bag below it. And as it smoked, you'd see it fill with the black. And you go, ooh, I don't want that in there. And it's easy to look at that. But no one's sitting there looking at what a hamburger and a cheeseburger and a French fry and everything else throughout the day is doing to the inside of this body. No one's looking at that. No one's getting upset about McDonald's advertising. We had Subway came out real with their big healthy kick a while ago, and that started to change people. But McDonald's is still flourishing. They're still one of the top companies. They're still one of the tops in the fast food chains. But why? See, I'm admittedly crazy. I'll tell everyone I am, and everyone that knows me knows I'm a little bit on the crazy side. Yes, I run about 30 miles a week. I sometimes bike. I've crashed my bike a few weeks ago. I swim. I do these insane endurance things because I just like them. And I know not everybody is wired to be like me. Because when I talk to people, they're like, you're just weird. And that's fine. I'm fine being weird with that. But I'm also not sitting here saying everybody should be doing what I do. I spend probably about an hour every morning running, sometimes two. And I don't expect everyone to do that. Nor do I think everyone should do that. I am, by my mother-in-law, sometimes I push my body too hard. And I've been accused of that, and I watch myself as much as I can. But at the same time, I enjoy it, and it's something I enjoy. But don't think of me being here telling you that's what you need to do. I get accused of that all the time. Well, you're trying to make everybody a runner. No, I'm not. I just want everybody to take care of their body. I just want everyone to take care of their temple. See, I love ice cream. I love dessert. My kids have found out I love White Castle. And they love White Castle, too, now. Which is like by far the worst. I often tell people I run because I love to eat. And it's really what I have to do. Because of the way that I eat, sometimes that's why I run. I look at what I eat and what I consume, and sometimes that's why I run. Now I do the balancing act of things. I don't go crazy. I used to always sit down and eat two hamburgers at every meal, full-size hamburgers. Now I'm down to one because I saw where the challenges were. But at the same time, I looked at it and said, if I'm going to eat the way I'm going to eat, then I'm going to have to run or do something extensive on the other side of things. I have another option. I could reduce the way I eat, and I could do less on this side. And I could probably spend a little more time in my Bible or in other things that I probably need to do. But I make my decisions. You make your choices. See, what I believe God wants everyone to understand through this message today is our bodies are an amazing creation. I love looking at the trees and the grass and the flowers, because I look at God's creation and I go, wow, what a creation he has. But I was sitting there in the orthopedic office the other day, and I was sitting there looking, and they always have pictures of like human skulls and different things around. they had a knee on there. And on that knee was a beautiful creation. And I thought, wow, what you saw on that knee was not just a knee, but you saw how God made the body into an amazing creation. He made an amazing temple for you. What you see in the knee is all these joints, all these ligaments, all these muscles working perfectly to make your knee work the way it works. He makes those muscles. I know a lot about knees. I've been through knee injuries. What I found when I went through knee injuries is you actually have to tighten some of these other muscles and strengthen some of these other muscles in order to stop the knee from hurting. Now, some people have bad knees. I get that. Your cartilage breaks down. Different things go wrong in here over time. But as someone who's 37 years old right now, when I get knee pain, it's because my muscles aren't right. It's because I haven't strengthened the muscles in certain areas because I do so much running that I neglect some of the other muscles. And as a result, it starts to wear and tear. And what happens is you look at things, I looked at that knee and I went, wow, God made an amazing creation, just in the knee. And when you expand that to the whole body, the way the muscle structure works around the whole body is simply a fantastic creation. It all works perfectly, but we destroy it. Because when we add the unhealthiness to it, it breaks down this muscle structure. When we add to, see, our body is designed to create fat. It's designed to create fat. Why? Why would it be designed to create fat? Because it knows if it's not going to eat for so long, it needs something to go to. So it creates fat. And I'm going to get into it a little bit later because I've studied a little bit about how we eat and how our body reacts to the way we eat. Because beyond our muscle structure and the way things are designed, there's a lot more to it. To the way our body actually deals with what we put into it. So our muscles perfectly support each other. Because God gave us the ability to run, He made this perfect, this knee perfectly. He made it to fit in there. See, what happens when we start to desecrate it is we start to break down the structure that God created. So what do? We get a knee pain. We get something going wrong. What do? We go to the doctor. We go to the doctor and they tell us, well, this is happening. Well, see, what happens is when we start to add to certain things, it starts to build up. And I looked at some statistics on our kids today. I found out this. Look at the growth of overweight children from 1974 to 2004. It's almost quadrupled in the time. Year after year, it goes up. I watched a lady show a slideshow one day, and it showed the United States, and it showed the obesity going in our United States and the way it was going. And over every year, they just kept raising the bar higher because it just kept getting that far out of control. It kept getting further and further away. So what happens is, the reason why this is such a burden on my heart is someone that's been through heart disease, who's had a cardiac arrest that was unrelated to heart disease, really. Someone that's been through heart surgery, I've gotten to know a lot about the heart. And what happens when all this stuff starts to take place is we start to break diabetes. We start to get diabetes type 2. Some people have diabetes, but type 2 is actually caused by fat in your abdomen that actually starts to interact with insulin. We also start to develop heart disease, high cholesterol. I've had high cholesterol before. I've had high cholesterol since I was a kid. I've gone to the doctors in recent years and been told I had high cholesterol. And every time I go there and I get a thing for high cholesterol, what do? Oh, start taking this. And they hand you the next script. And oh, you got pain here? Okay, take this script. Take this script. What we start to do is we start to add on. When the doctors are willing to give you scripts, there's tons of medications out there to fix everything. There's a medication for everything you could possibly think of. Ones that we don't know about. The drug companies love us when they go to the doctors and they just fill out the scripts. But what we do is we start to pile on medications, and that just adds to more complexity. We sit there and we look at our scripts and the adverse events and the reactions that come out of them, and they're horrible. They just start to build up. And we don't even realize now when we get pain here, it's actually not a result of any pain that we actually have. It's a result of some script that's interacting with another script. And because of this, we just keep going out of control. As we add weight, Our muscles now have to react. Our joints have to react. See, there's a reason why the doctors tell you you need to get in shape, and it's because they look at your joints, and as you add weight to your joints can't handle it. That perfect muscle of the knee now no longer can carry that extra weight you've added to it. And ladies that are pregnant, you know taking on that extra weight is not easy. Taking on that extra weight of a child puts a lot of pressure on your knees. It puts a lot of pressure on your hips. It hurts everything. But would you want to carry that weight around for the rest of your life? But yet some people do. And the reason I put it against the temptation that Jesus faces, are we tempting God with what we do? Are we tempting God in the way we eat and the way we take care of our temple? I don't think I need to go a lot into cholesterol and what it does. It shrinks our arteries. Our arteries now can't flow. We might have a pinhole for blood to flow through. It causes strokes. It causes heart attacks. It causes everything else on top of there. But we can fix it. It's not something that we can't fix. It's something we can fix. Osteoporosis sets in as we get older. Those joints don't really like to carry on that extra weight. I could go on and on the things that happen. As I study and I look into this stuff, it just keeps getting worse. So we look at all the challenges of what weight does to us. We look at all the challenges of what the eating the way we do is. And let's talk about God's provision. Let's talk about how God provides for us, though. God takes care of us. I look at the Israelites. What did he do for them? Manna. Manna for 40 years. What a wonderful diet. Manna for breakfast, manna for lunch, and manna for dinner. But what did it do for them? It sustained them. It was all they actually needed was manna. But how did they react? Turn with me over in Exodus chapter 16. Verses 2 through 4. I know Mike gets mad when I don't say the verses. Or those with tablets. Exodus 16, verse 2 through 4. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Did he want to kill them? No, he wanted to take care of them. He wanted to take them out of where they were. But yet they murmured and complained because they didn't like what they were eating. If I go over in Numbers chapter 11, verses 4 through 6. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, Who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt, freely the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes. Man, they had all they needed. They had a sustainable diet that kept them. It kept them out of slavery. It kept them out of the torture that they were being put through. But yet they wanted that fish and those cucumbers and all that other stuff they had to eat. But yet we look at it as we have a sustainable diet. Listen, I love a ribeye steak. Love a ribeye steak. But what's wrong with a ribeye steak? It's got all that extra fat on it, but it makes it so juicy. But on the other side of it, I got a filet mignon. Usually more expensive sometimes, but there's not fat on it. It's a leaner cut of meat. It's the same thing, but it doesn't have all that fat on there. But it doesn't taste as good. But am I okay with the filet over the ribeye? Or maybe the chicken breast, which is actually healthier for you than either. Or the fish. I'm not a big fish eater. I don't typically eat a lot of fish. I like it, but I don't cook it. I don't eat it. If I go out to eat, I'm going to order a steak or a hamburger. But I can easily go over to the fish and say, that fish is probably a better choice for me. But we tend to go for that food that's desiring of our heart, Just as the Israelites, they didn't want the manna. They wanted the food that they desired. The simplicity of McDonald's and the simplicity of Chick-fil-A or any of the other fast food joints that are out there are there. They're easy, they're quick, and sometimes, yes, they're necessary. But we have to be careful when we take them, because there's other food out there that we can make just as well. I want to look at the people of Israel, though, outside of their diet of manna. When they hit the promised land, what did they have? They had barley, wheat, spelt, millet among the grains, besides olives, grapes, figs, pomegranates, sesame, and vegetables. Most of it came from their own fields. How did it get there? They plowed their own fields. They made the food to grow. The local markets, fish. There were lots of fish where they were at. They were near water. Compare that to our diet of today. Compare that to how we eat fresh vegetables. How often do we eat fresh vegetables? How often do we eat from the fish at the market that's fresh? The diet that the Israelites had, if you look at any pictures of the Israelites and you look at that one right up there, they were pretty skinny people. They walked everywhere. They took care of their crops. And they took care of to eat just lightly because they ate what they had. They had to sustain. Part of God's provision through them through the manna was they had to collect so much manna. Just enough manna to take them through the day. And when you read about them, what you find is they actually took too much manna at some times. And what would happen to that excess manna? It would rot. And it would stink. And it would smell nasty. So they learned to take just what they needed. How often do we take just what we need? Put you in front of a buffet line and see how much you take. It's hard not to take more. You paid $15 for that buffet. I want to get my money's worth out of it, right? But we don't really need it. If we actually look at our bodies and the way our bodies are designed, if you eat more than your body can take in, what does it do with the excess? Turns it to fat. It can only handle enough food to sustain you for 3 hours. See, I went through a course at work, and they trained you on how to eat for energy. If you eat properly, you actually increase your energy. And it was quite, I was looking at it going, all right. But when you start to dive into it, I realize, wow, that's actually me. Because about 10 o'clock in the morning, 11 o'clock in the morning, I started to get hungry. Most of you well, I know Shay can tell you what happens to me about 11:30 during church service. My stomach starts growling like crazy. That's my time to eat. 11:30, I need my second filling. I need something small just to sustain me till lunchtime. She often laughs at me because she'll hear it. As soon as 11:30, quarter to 12 hits, my stomach starts growling because it's time for me to eat. I even bring a snack bar with me when I teach Sunday school, and I try to eat a snack bar during Sunday school classes. But here's the thing about our body. The way God designed our body is another amazing piece. Beyond the muscles and the joints and the way everything all fits together, He actually designed our metabolism to work perfectly. It works amazingly perfectly. When you eat a meal, a full square meal of breakfast, that's enough food to last you for 3 hours. Anything beyond enough food to last you for 3 hours will be stored as fat. Because your body knows, hey, I only got enough now to use me for 3 hours. And after 3 hours, your body's going to start saying, I'm hungry again. I need more food. Regardless of how much you ate at breakfast, you can eat 3 egg sandwiches, a whole pile of hash browns. 3 hours later, you're going to be hungry again. Because your body can only take in enough to sustain you for 3 hours. Then it's going to go, I'm hungry again. And you're going to have a small snack then. And then lunchtime's going to come around, the same thing's going to happen. You're going to eat another square meal. But what's a square meal? Here's the cool thing about it. One portion. Hold up your hand. Is your hand the same size as the person next to you? Chances are not. That palm right there is one portion. It's one portion. My portion's bigger than Levi's portion. I guarantee that. Right? My portion's bigger than yours, right? I get to eat more than he does. And everyone, when I took the course, someone looked at someone, well, I want his hand because he gets a bigger portion, right? But that's actually one portion. That's one portion of meat that you should eat. You should eat 2 of those of vegetables and 2 of those of starches. and that's enough to sustain you for 3 hours. Anything beyond that goes right to fat in your body, because God designed your body to work that way. What's even more amazing, who skips breakfast every morning? Who's not typically a breakfast eater? There are people out there that will get sick if they eat breakfast. I see Dennis going, yep, that's me. I get sick if I eat breakfast. Right? You know why? Because your body's now trained itself not to want breakfast. It's stored up enough from your dinner and your food before to get you through breakfast. But it also hurts your body because it probably stored more than it actually needed to get you through breakfast. They teach you, if you're not a breakfast eater, you actually have to train your body to start eating breakfast again. There was one lady, the lady that taught our class, said her husband wasn't a breakfast eater until she got trained on this. He had to start off drinking one sip of milk every morning. That was all he could sustain, was one sip of milk, until he could get through a whole glass of milk. He had to train his body to eat breakfast again, because breakfast is a critical part of your day. It starts your body up. It tells your body, hey, wake up, I'm ready to move now. It's the way to get started. When I get in my car in the morning, I get in my car about 5 in the morning, I always have a granola bar before I start. That's my sustainable before I get going on my run and everything else. I have to have a granola every morning. As soon as I'm out of bed, about a half hour later, my stomach will start growling because I'm hungry. I'm a 5, 6, 7 times a day eater. My stomach growls all the time. I eat enough just to get me through for that 3 hours, because anything beyond that, again, what does your body do with it? It puts it right to fat. It puts it right, it builds it up on your body, because it says, later on when I'm hungry, I'm going to that reserve. But if you keep eating, it never goes to that reserve. It never has to go to that reserve. So we go on these starvation diets, these drastic starvation diets. It forces the body to hit those reserves for a while, but it also causes your metabolism to completely slow down. Because your body says, well, I'm not going to get enough at this next meal, so I'm just going to slow down. Your metabolism is brilliant. God designed your metabolism and your body to work perfectly, just to slow down. It says, well, all right, I know I'm not going to eat again, so I'm just going to slow down. And eventually, over time, what happens is that metabolism stays down. And that causes that three-hour window to get that much worse. It feeds off everything. It's a domino effect. And we do this to our bodies. We're doing it, and we're teaching it to our kids. That's the worst thing. I looked at Logan the one day, and I said to him, in school, what's wrong? And he says he's tired. Well, he gets up at 7 o'clock in the morning, he gets on the school bus. He's not allowed to have any snacks on the school bus. So he eats his breakfast somewhere between 6:30 and 7 in the morning. He goes to school, he's not allowed to eat lunch until 11:30. Do the math. 7:30, 8:30, 9:30, 10:30, 11:30. 5 hours. 5 hours he's expected, along with the rest of his classmates, to keep their energy up, to be focused on their tests, and to be ready to serve and do whatever they need to do in school. 5 hours. I said to him, aren't you allowed to snack? No, not allowed to snack. Not allowed to eat in the middle of the day. Why are our children hurting? Because we're training their metabolisms to slow down. We're actually burning them out. Why are they all tired and not doing well on their tests? Because they're tired. Their body needs to slow down. When your metabolism slows down, guess what happens? You slow down. You get sleepy. That's why we get tired. Lunchtime, I had that big lunch at lunchtime and had that nice afternoon, want to go down and just take a nap. Yeah, the afternoon nap is good. Well, it's not. Because what happens is we've eaten so much at lunch that now our body says, oh, I need to take some time to digest all this. And that's why it slows down. See, if we look at Numbers, we looked at what God did there. He provided the perfect food. But they murmured and they wanted more. How are we? We want more. We want the extra helping. We want the second dessert. We want to feel like we've really stuffed that stomach full when we leave. And I'm no different. I eat down there during fellowship night. I go back for that dessert. I've probably had dinner, and I'll go down there and have a second dinner during that time. But at the end of the day, I'm looking at it going, I really shouldn't be doing this. See, our bodies are perfect machines. God commanded us to care for them. We won't drink alcohol. We won't smoke tobacco. We won't put tattoos on them. But how much will we affect them in other ways? And how much are we destroying? God doesn't want us to die early. God wants us to live long. God wants us to serve him as long as we can. But aren't we tempting God when we eat unhealthy? Aren't we tempting God when we push him to the brink and say, now I'm stuck in the hospital because I've clogged up my arteries with all the garbage I've eaten over the years? Aren't we tempting God when we do all that and then say, hey, God, please help me, get me out of this hospital bed? Isn't that what the devil said to Jesus? Hey, Jesus was standing over a mountaintop. We're doing just the same. We're pushing our bodies. We're tempting God. Hey, listen, there are some people who get stuck in the hospital for the wrong things, and it happens. And I'm one of them. I'm not saying people in the hospital don't deserve prayer. But at the same time, we need to make sure that we're not tempting God in the way we're taking care of our bodies. We're not tempting God in what we're doing. We need to take care of our bodies in a way that's suitable, that gives it the creation, the perfect creation that he gave to you to use it properly. I'm not saying everyone should leave here and go sign up at the gym. I'm not saying everyone should go just do something crazy. Listen, as Pastor said, you don't go out there and worship your body. I don't think I worship my body. I just get excited to run. I get excited about taking care of this body because God's given me extra life. God's gave me extra years. And my desire is just that I could see other people have those extra years too. I've seen too many people die too soon because they haven't taken care of themselves. All I ask is that maybe God's challenging your heart and saying, maybe I just need to do something a little extra. Maybe I need to drink water instead of soda. Or maybe I need to just take a few extra steps instead of sitting down in front of that TV. Maybe I could take a few extra steps around the block. You see, when we combine everything together, start adding exercise into it, it starts to allow you to do more. And you can decide what you want to do with it. But you decide. Our children are in dire needs right now. They're growing up with iPads and electronics on them a lot earlier than I ever grew up with them. I was on AOL and chat and all that, I think when I was 13 years old. I was into all that stuff. Yeah, AOL. David's laughing at me like, yeah, you're old. Right? I was on chat. I was on all that stuff. But I didn't have an iPad to sit down at night and just sit there and play on my iPad or sit there and play on a phone or whatever or sit there and play. I played video games a lot as a kid. I played hockey. I played football. I played all different video games. But I also came home and I went outside and played street hockey for 2 or 3 hours some days. I also went outside and my friends would play pickup football in the backyard. Now sometimes it's a fight to get my kids to go outside some days. And our kids today are in no better shape. A lot of our kids are growing up that, yeah, just throw the iPad in front of them. They'll be quiet for the whole dinner time. But is that really what you want them to do? I get on the teenagers all the time. I give them a hard time about their devices. I'll give them the phone pile because I don't want to see them. I don't want to see them playing on them. I want to see them focused on the message. I want to see them focused on the time interacting with each other. And I want to see them being active. I want to see them doing something a little more. So maybe instead of watching TV for that few hours we do at night, or playing on the phone, whatever we should do, maybe get up and take a walk. Just jog in place. I read an article on a guy that just started jogging in place. That was his change. He woke up out of bed every morning, and he decided, I'm just going to jog in place. And he'd do 30 seconds, and that was all he could handle when he first started out. Then he became 60 seconds. Then it became 5 minutes. Just jogging in place. He lost like 100 pounds within, I think it was something like a month, from jogging in place. Jogging in place became walking outside. Walking outside became walking a full half marathon. He just changed something. He just got up one day and said, I got to change something. Because what I'm doing now is not going to help me to last very long. Figure out what it is for you. For me, it's running. That's all I do. I run, I bike, I like to do it. But I'm not telling everyone can do that. I know everyone can't do that. But there's something you can do. There's something you enjoy doing. And just get out there and enjoy nature. It's hot out there now, I know. But you could still get out there for a few minutes during the day and do something. We all know it is God's temple. So let's stop tempting God by letting our temples decay and then praying for God to help us when it is decayed. We spent years neglecting our temple. Let's turn it around now. And let's start taking care of it. Let's treating it like the temple that it deserves to be. Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank you for the message, Lord. Lord, I thank you for what you've given, Lord, and I pray, Lord, that you'll stir our hearts, Lord, challenge us. Help us, Lord, to take care of this temple you've given to us, Lord, and help us just to glory in the beauty of how it all works perfectly together. But Lord, help us to have many years to serve you. That's what it's all about, Lord, to serve you as long as we can on this earth. To see more people get saved. The longer we live, the more people will see.